Find yourself too busy, stressed out, and unfulfilled? Know what you are supposed to do, but have no idea how to fit it all in? Doesn't have to be that way. Welcome to Seamless Life with Alan Vaisberg, a program that shows you how to do all the things you know you're supposed to do. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you make your life seamless.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Seamless Life. I am your host, Alan Vaisberg, and I'm happy to be back on the air. Last week, I wasn't able to be with you for family reasons, and next week, I'll be on vacation. So we're sandwiching this in this week to talk about relationships. How does relationships fit into to your life, aside from in every way possible? Relationships are the foundation on which we live. And that's the interesting part, because we seek to be around somebody else. We seek to be with someone else. We spend so much time, money, and effort to be with someone else that sometimes that takes away all of our time and effort. There are about 40 million Americans that are using online dating services right now. And another fun fact, it generates, and by it I'm talking about the online dating industry, it generates $1.8 billion per year, while the matchmaking and dating coaching business generates about $260 million per year in the United States. It is an amazing thing. So, you know, about 56% of Americans are married, and 44% are single. Although, you know, the Washington, D.C. Seems to have a really flourishing single life. About 70% of all the adults in D.C. are unmarried. So that's very interesting to hear there. Point being, we spend a lot of our time in relationships. Those of us who are married, I've been married, knock on wood, for over 15 years to a woman that I've known for half my life. So those of us that are married are spending a lot of our time in relationship with the other person. We're trying to figure out, who are we as it relates to the other person? What are they doing that is satisfying to us? What are we doing that is satisfying to them? Everything that we go through, all of the experiences in life, are yet other filters and expressions of how we feel about ourselves and the one that is our love, so to speak. So if you're single and you're looking for that one, that is the biggest missing piece in your life. I say that not because I just think so, but it's research. People want to be with somebody. And there are plenty of single people who decided that they're single and they're focusing on their career and they have other interests, and that's perfectly fine. But by and large, the vast majority of us want to be in a relationship. We want to be in a healthy relationship, one that allows us to express ourselves fully, one that allows us to be understood, one that allows us to really feel the support and love from the other person. And this particular topic, aside from being of great interest to me because you always want to improve your relationship, nothing is ever perfect, but it's the focus of today. And we're going to bring in a couple of experts from different parts of this spectrum to talk about this after the first break. One is Lindsay Allison, who's an expert, and she helps people get out of bad relationships and get into good ones. So she's a divorce expert. So she'll be a wonderful person to pick her brain on what to do and what not to do. On the other side, we'll have Joe Amoya. And Joe is a relationship expert helping single people find love. So we'll talk to them in about 10 minutes from now. In the life segment, this is when I will introduce you to my concept of what is missing in all of the relationship books. And that is something that I really feel passionate about. And once you do what I am asking you to do, then everything else is going to be improved dramatically. So stay tuned for that in the last segment, as well as the poem of the week. But now, before the break, there are interesting aspects to relationships that I wanted to discuss, and then we'll ask our experts about that when they come on. In terms of relationship, what is it that people value in a relationship? And again, based on research, about 88% of women consider money to be a huge factor in their relationships. And money happens to be one of the leading causes of arguments among couples. So we know that money is a big thing. You know, my personal experience, when I left my high-paying job and I decided to set out and find myself, that took a little bit of time, ongoing over a couple of years. Money certainly started becoming an object. My wife is making a very good salary, and I was really high, and then I went from high to nothing and then started building up from there. So while money was never really a tension between us because we are in a comfortable state, money is something that is that underlying tone of my wife wanting to have more stability and my wife asking, when are you going to get to that point where I don't have to work as hard at this and be the supportive one where before I was the high income earner. All of these are little things that create a lot of pressure on relationships. So while money wasn't an issue before, certainly when we got married, I was the genius who failed my first business and put us in $350,000 of personal debt, which we climbed out of. Money was an issue then, and it tested our relationship because as a young wife, she certainly didn't have to stay with me and go through that process. But because she loved me, because she believed in what I was doing, she stuck around, and God bless her for that. That made our relationship stronger having gone through it. So money definitely is one of the causes of relationship troubles that we need to look at. It's our perspective of what is a successful relationship. That's another. If we are expecting the other person to provide our needs instead of trying to get them ourselves, if we don't feel comfortable in our own skin and we want the other person to do that, if they don't, then we feel slighted. Then we feel that something is not working in a relationship, right? There are many, many aspects to this. We can talk about other statistics, but what I found interesting is if you are genuinely into your partner, if you are excited, and if you are happy for anything that happens in your partner's life, then your relationship is going to be a much better relationship. If you are afraid to share your good news with someone that you have a relationship with, then that is a huge, huge factor in that relationship not working out. There have been studies on that, right? So couples that actively celebrate good news together rather than actively or passively dismissing it have a higher rate of their relationship working out. Another factor that studies have found is people either grow together or they grow apart. And there are different studies that are saying that, the younger you are when you get married, the more chances that you're going to get, less chances rather that you're going to get divorced. I think the studies are showing that if you wait until 23, I'll correct myself, sorry. The studies are showing that if you wait until 23 to commit, then you have less of a chance to get divorced after because you already know who you are. You're a little more established. You're not just rushing into things. On the other hand, and this is the point that I wanted to get to, is if you decide that you're growing together, it doesn't matter what age you're in, but if you grow together with your partner, so if your partner is interested in one thing, instead of dismissing it or not paying attention to it, be involved in it to a certain extent. It doesn't have to be you have to like the same things and you have to pursue the same passions, but you have to be there to share and to be that bouncing wall of ideas. If you don't do that for each other, and especially if you do the other aspect of it, of denying and saying, what a stupid idea, why would you waste your time on this? That relationship is doomed for failure. So those are some of the things that we found that do work. And we'll ask our experts what they think about that. I also was interesting to find out, you know, researching for this, for tonight's show, is that the feeling and the definition of love, what we call love, of falling in love and being in that state where nothing else matters and you just want to be with this person and that's the only thing that you care about, how long does that actually last? And there have been studies on that. And the studies that are saying that it takes about a year for that to start going away. And then the question, and something that will lead us into our conversation with the experts, is what happens after that? Because many divorces happen when people's eyes are open after this euphoric stage, and they realize that they are two different people, and they have things about each other that they don't like. What happens next? Are they going to leave the relationship and search for something that gives them that euphoric feeling again? Or are they going to stay in the relationship, work on it, and see if this is the right person to be with? And we're not talking about the stereotypical staying in the relationship and this is the only one person that you're going to be with forever. I'm just talking about relationship in general. You know, how invested are you in that relationship? How invested are you when you realize that you are not one person, that they do have their own ideas? Their ideas may not be the same as yours. How do you deal with it? Then children come along. How do you deal with children? There are some couples that think that when children come into place, it will soothe everything. It usually doesn't, because children usually just keep adding more and more stress onto your relationship. So many, many aspects that I'd like to touch upon with our experts when we return from break. So stay with us. We'll be right back on Seamless Life.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. Your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I've tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, I'm Katrina Kavanagh, host of the I Am Wisdom radio show. I Am Wisdom is about the connection between mind work and energy work, spirituality, and living a wonderful life. Looking forward to sharing each Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with you.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Seamless Life. We have our guests on the line, Lindsay Ellison and Dr. Joe Amoya. Hello, Lindsay. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Alan. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, Joe. Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, see, we have a relationship already. All three of us are online. But I think it's that easy, isn't it? Just, you know, get people talking, and that's about it, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, perfect. I'm glad we all agree. Thank you very much for that. I think agreement is one of the things that's very important in a relationship. But let's start with a background. For those people who are not familiar with you, Lindsay, would you mind giving us a little bit of your background, your passions, what led you into this path?
Absolutely. Thanks, Alan, for having me. Yeah, I am a divorce and breakup coach. So I primarily help women, not just men, but mostly women, mm-hmm. on helping them navigate through their divorce and or breakup. And that came from my passion for when I was going through a divorce and an unhappy marriage. I realized that I needed someone to kind of guide me through all of the steps that one must take through a breakup and my divorce, and felt as though there was really a lack of guidance of the practical steps that you had to take in order to really find happiness and start over, which is my brand, Start Over, Find Happiness. So I help women all over the world, guiding them through this difficult process in their lives.
And we, not we, but I think we in general as people, thank you for that. Thank you, Lindsay. And Dr. Joe, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I kind of come in after Lindsay. It's after the breakup. The individuals that I tend to work with are those individuals who are looking for the great relationship, who are at that point in their life, it's post-divorce, or they're at that point in their mid to late 30s where they just can't have that relationship that they're really looking for. And they don't want another relationship. They're looking for that great relationship. So I go by the term dating and relationship strategist, and really understanding what needs to happen to put yourself in position to create that great relationship.
That's perfect. You guys really should tag team together. Lindsay helps them break up. You help them get back.
We have.
Perfect. I'm sure there's some wonderful stories there. But let's start with the breakup. But why would people want to end their relationship? And I'm not talking about the, it's maybe an abusive relationship, or it may be a one that's really, difficult. What are some of the other reasons that are less obvious why people would end their marriage?
I think a lot of people, that's very much a loaded question. I could talk about that forever, but I think kind of the biggest thing is just unhappiness. Just not having a purposeful, feeling as though they don't have a purposeful relationship and feeling as though they're very lonely. An unhappy marriage generally is the first indication is just kind of loneliness, and you're living like roommates and you're not connecting, you're not communicating, you're not best friends, you're not having a partnership that is really meaningful and equal. And so a lot of the times that when that starts to drop off, you tend to go into some isolation, and really it can be a recipe for cheating. Let's face it, people cheat. It happens. And I want to help people avoid that. I want people to check in with themselves, and before they go off and do something that's not honest to them and not honest to their current spouse, it's important that people understand what is meaningful to them and what do they require in their relationship so that they get it. And oftentimes people work on it and they'll go through marriage counseling. But so often they have just found that they have just met the wrong person. Mm-hmm. And when you are in that place, it's a very scary place, because that would really take you on to a whole journey of divorce or moving on. And it's very scary. So when people feel very stuck in their relationship, they tend to just kind of let it be. They'll ignore it. They're in denial. They'll put things under the carpet and really just try to avoid the situation. And I'm here to tell people that life, you have one shot in life, and you shouldn't have to live unhappy. And it's up to you to figure that out. It's up to you to figure out, well, what is it that I want in my life?
Sounds great. Now, on the kind of getting to the happiness spectrum, Joe, you said that you're a strategist for helping people find the great relationship. What would be some of the pieces of what constitutes a great relationship?
Well, this really, adds on to what Lindsay was saying. It's really getting clear mm-hmm. on what it is, not only that you want, but what is it that you need? If you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone, what are those important qualities and characteristics that you absolutely positively must have? Because you can enter a relationship with someone and things can be all sunshine and rainbows in the beginning. But when you get into the nitty gritty of life, when life throws stuff at you, which it invariably does, do you have that person by your side that you can work with, that you can get through things, and where you can also achieve the happiness that you're ultimately looking for. Because as Lindsay said, that's ultimately what it comes down to. At the end of the day, it all comes down to we want to be happy and we want to be in the relationship that we really are looking for.
Perfect. And I think, Lindsay, you've mentioned, you know, not being best friends. So when life throws things at you, if you don't have your best friend by your side, it usually doesn't work. Is that what you found as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a kind of a personal case study of that. I mean, if you, you know, I think things are changing, but in, you know, in the 30 something age demographic, I think we often get married very young. We'll meet our partner and then we're married by 22 and you don't really know who you are and you have to change. You're likely to change. And two people that belong together grow together. You're going to change. You're going to evolve together. You're going to be accepting of change and not threatened by that change. And that is what makes a really good marriage. And when that doesn't happen, and when one person is threatened by that change or doesn't like their partner growing in a different way, that is where a lot of resentment comes from. And you know, the best friend thing starts to dwindle, and you tend to hold secrets. And when I mean secrets, I mean secrets about the smallest things, about maybe meeting a new friend and you don't want to share with your partner the new friend that you've met. Mm-hmm. And it's really important from a marriage standpoint, as also when you're finding new love. Like Joe was saying, it's about being very, very clear with what you want and what it is that you require.
And Joe, when people are learning about the things that they want, and I'm sure you have a process that you guide them through, what are the top three things that you have found that people are saying, this is what I want?
Well, the number one thing for women is they need to be with a man that they can trust. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's above all the number one thing that every woman says is that, you know, I need to be with the man that they can trust. Their number one, and you know, hear it all the time, is this thing called chemistry. Mm-hmm. But what really what a woman says when she says she's looking for chemistry, she's looking for an attraction and emotional connection. Mm-hmm. So those two kind of go hand in hand. And the also the next one is a compatibility. You know, Lindsay talked about being best friends. You really need to be compatible. You need to be on the same wavelength. You need to have the same morals, values, and goals. And when two individuals have those three things, a relationship becomes much easier to sustain.
Very interesting. And I'll get to trust in a second because that's something that I wanted to follow up on. But in terms of chemistry, obviously people change. And as people grow older, their bodies change. How does the chemistry, or what is your advice? Now that goes for both of you, Lindsay and Joe. What is your advice for that chemistry to continue flowing even though people themselves are changing?
Go ahead, Joe. You can take that.
Okay. So if it was up to me, I'd take the word chemistry and throw it out of our vocabulary because it causes so much confusion. And so because it really is understanding, you know, whenever someone says, you know, there needs to be chemistry, I say, well, what is that? Like, define it. Mm-hmm. And it usually comes to this like infatuation.
Yeah.
And this attraction. So it's really about not just the physical component of it, but it's really, does this other person have these other things that meet your emotional needs?
Right.
And so when a woman says, you know, I want chemistry, she's really saying, I want to be with a man who makes me feel a certain way and fulfills my emotional needs. Hmm. And one of those is being attracted to a man.
Got it. And then, you know, Lindsay, to throw a female perspective on it, is that all it takes, or is there has to be the physical component where you have to be attracted to somebody physically in order to have that quote unquote chemistry?
I mean, I think it's both. I definitely that you have to be physically attracted to someone. Physical attraction is defined by your own unique algorithm. Right. So to speak. But a lot of the times, you know, what I hear a lot is when the marriage starts to dwindle, the number one thing I hear from women is I'm no longer attracted to him. And when I try to break that down is, well, what does that mean? You know, it really doesn't have to do with so much his physical state. I'll hear a lot of the times that the woman will say, oh, he's a very good looking guy. lots of men or lots of women find him attractive. I don't find him attractive. Hmm. And that goes to that, that I think that's evidence that you can be attractive, but you may not find that person attractive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does.
And so I think for a marriage and what keeps the attraction is you're on your toes. You know, you in a way you kind of have to keep each other on each other's toes. And there should always be a level of courting in a relationship, no matter how many years you've been with someone. And the courting is, to me, from what I hear from women, that is a very important thing of attractiveness. When a man wants to take you out on a date and court you, and I don't care if you've been married 5, 10, 20 years, surprises and doing favors for each other that's unexpected, that's what keeps the attractiveness going. It's not so much, obviously, there's physical appearance. I mean, you know, if you married someone and now they're 100 pounds heavier, the attraction might wane. But let's just say your physical appearances are pretty much the same other than aging. Mm-hmm. It's really about keeping the relationship very fresh and healthy. And there's a level of trust and understanding and partnership. I think that's really what seasoned attractiveness is over what Joe just said was infatuation.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I think just to throw in there, different and new shared experiences is what helps
Absolutely.
Keep the relationship fresh. I do want to follow up on trust, but I know we're coming up to a break soon, so we'll do trust right after it. What would be an interesting question to me, Lindsay, since you are quote unquote a breakup coach, have you had many clients that came to you for a breakup that decided not to do that after working with you?
Absolutely. Yes. I find, a lot of the time. So like I said, I work with women, so I do have to speak in reference to them. But yeah. The women tend to.
We'll come back and continue this discussion.
Oh, okay.
right after the break. Please stay with us.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
Radio Namaste leads you down the yellow brick road into portals of consciousness with the blue collar goddess as your host. Interviews with humans who could be famous or just popular, and answers to everything are on the agenda. Tune into OM Times Radio and drop in on Thursdays at 3 Eastern. It's a different brand of enlightenment.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. Right before the break, we were just starting up on a topic. I wanted to find out if Lindsay, the breakup coach, ever had clients that didn't break up after working with her. So, Lindsay, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. So, absolutely. I find that when I find with a woman that I'm working with and she's thinking that she might want to get divorced, and when I start to dig deeper and realize that the person that she's married with seems to be a pretty great guy. And, you know, he's not a jerk and she finds him attractive, and there's really nothing going on with the relationship. And where I get where I dig deeper is that she has not found her own purpose in life. Right. She's not finding any meaning in her life and hasn't really found kind of the recipe for her own success. And a lot of the time she might be married and have kids and her whole life is about taking care of everybody else, but hasn't really found that the meaning of her own life. And so oftentimes that can be translated into marital unhappiness and really has nothing to do with the marriage at all. It has a lot to do with just not being happy within herself. And that is a wonderful breakthrough. I wish I had more of that, honestly. But when I do, and I get them to find a hobby or a job or some kind of spiritual meaning in their life, wow, there's just suddenly when she realizes that, she just realizes that, oh my gosh, I do have a good marriage and I'm not leaving this one. This is a good thing for me.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So, you're a stay-together coach as well as a breakup coach.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Joe, you've mentioned the number one thing was trust. So that's something I wanted to follow up on. Tell me more of what trust actually means to the people that you're working with in terms of finding that great relationship.
Right. So when I work, like Lindsay, primarily with women, mm-hmm. when they say they're looking for trust, what they really say is they're looking for a man that they can rely on. Someone mm-hmm. that they know that they can count on, who's going to be a man of integrity. You know, he's going to do what he says and says what he does. You know, that's really what they're looking for. Not someone who's going to say one thing and do another. They know he's always going to be there, that they can always count on him, and he's always going to have their back.
Mm-hmm. So it's a stability factor in knowing that you are with somebody that you can, well, trust yeah. would be the right word for it. Lindsay, from the perspective of trust, I'm assuming the people that you're working with who want to break their relationship, trust has already been broken. Am I correct on that, or is that a
factor? Not all the time. I mean, of course, I work with a lot of women. I mean, I specialize in women who are in a narcissistic relationship, or they're with a narcissist, and oftentimes the narcissist tends to go off and cheat and do things that are not trustworthy. You know, trust also has a lot to do, not so much of betrayal per se. Trust has a lot to do with being vulnerable and sharing fears with your partner. Or if I've had a bad day, and I'm not going to be perfect, and I need to let my guard down, and I'm going to share with my partner, I'm having a really bad day. I'm going to trust him that he will hear me. I'm going to trust him that he will listen, and maybe not even throw advice, or he won't negate my feelings. He won't make me feel bad about having a bad day. So a lot of the times, trust isn't so much about betrayal and you know, being monogamous so much as really allowing yourself to just be you and not being penalized for being you and not feeling punished.
Makes perfect sense. Another thing that I've had conversations and I guess discussions on is when women, and that goes for men as well, but when women share something with their partner, they're not necessarily looking for the man to solve their problems. They just want to share because of what you said. They want to be heard and acknowledged.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So Joe and Alan, do you guys do that with your wives?
I stopped because I'm naturally a problem solver, and people come to me because they want me to help them solve problems. So as soon as I hear my wife say something, the initial reaction is, okay, I know this based on this experience. I think I know where this is going. So in order to answer that, you go to A, B, and then C. Then I tell myself to shut up and just listen.
Good, good. You've learned.
Yeah. So I've been trained by my wife. How about you, Joe?
Unfortunately, I grew up among women, so I kind of cracked that code early in life.
Good. Well, you're one of the lucky ones. It took me a little while.
Now, I said the key is that you actually learn. So that's the most important. It doesn't make a difference when you learn, is that you get the actual lesson.
Yes, and I was going to make a joke that my wife is a leader and a type A personality. So when I talk, the first thing that comes into her mind is how she can solve my problems. So we're both kind of learning that as we go along. But you've touched upon a very important point. It's about learning. It's about being open. One of the things that I found very important in my relationship is to be flexible as you are growing together, which was a part that Lindsay mentioned. You have to stay open-minded. And if something is not working and your partner shares with you what is not working for them, you have to be open-minded and break down the barriers that you put up yourself to actually acknowledge that and work on it. Otherwise, you're done. So, Joe, have you found that working with your clients?
Yes, I agree 1,000%. It really is to comes down to knowing who you are and understand that there is no longer a me. Mm-hmm. Once you're into a relationship, you're into a marriage, it now becomes us.
Right.
So what do we need to do to support each other, to communicate, to get on the same page so that we can create the results that we're both looking for? Because if I win and you lose, then ultimately we all lose.
Right. That's true. Now, all of us are married, and based on your experiences, who has the upper hand in the relationship? I know it's a stupid way of saying it, but who makes the final decision? Is it the wife or the husband?
Who are you asking?
I'm asking both. Lindsay, what do you think?
Who has the upper hand? Oh, it really depends on the personality. It really does. I can't say you can answer that question across all couples. I think,
right.
Just with my husband and I am more, I'm the outgoing one. I'm the extroverted one. I tend to somewhat make the plans and I make the decisions and he sits back and he's completely okay with that. But you know what? When I was dating, I had to realize, I'm after divorce, I had to realize I needed someone like that. I needed someone who was not threatened by that. And had I been working with Joe, I would have probably discovered that because he would have said, this is the kind of person that you require. And my former husband we were both decision makers, and we really competed. And bad marriages, there's a lot of competition for power. And I think good, healthy marriages have an exchange of power. The woman is very strong and powerful in some things, and the man is very strong and powerful in other, and there's kind of an equal balance there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what makes it successful, is if someone's always calling the shots, there might be an unequal balance where there's resentment to follow.
Very true. Joe?
And again, I agree with Lindsay. There really is no upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of, who can source in this particular area. So
right.
it's understanding, this might be my strength in this area. And in this area, it may be your strength. But how do we get on the same page so we both feel value, we both feel heard, and we're both happy with where we're at in this relationship?
Makes perfect sense. So now that we're kind of on that topic, what are some of the other very important factors that you found through your experiences and your clients' experiences that are keys to having that great relationship? We'll start with Joe. Go ahead.
Well, I think the two biggest ones that I've seen in the women that I work primarily with is that they want to be valued,
mm-hmm.
and they want to be heard, and they want to be appreciated.
Got it.
And if a woman feels that she's valued, that she's heard, when you were talking about earlier how a woman will just want to talk, she
mm-hmm.
very often doesn't want us men to solve the problems, but just to go, I hear you and I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And if a woman can feel that, that goes a long way with her being fulfilled in a relationship.
Perfect. Lindsay?
I agreed with Joe. Absolutely. I'm going to go above and beyond that. And a lot of the women that come to me who are not happy, often feel as though their partner, and I'm not dealing with a complete narcissist, but just a general unhappiness in a relationship, mm-hmm. is that their partner is no longer paying attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really kind of dropped the ball. And I said this earlier in the show about being courted. I think men really forget this, especially as they become, you know, really ingrained in their career. If they're the breadwinner and the woman is at home tending to the children, I think they really forget that a woman needs to remember that she is a woman and she's sexual and attractive. And I think men tend to forget to go, oh my gosh, I need to make plans. I mean, the one thing that I find with women, and I speak this from personal experience, is that we're making plans all the time. We're in charge of our children and our schedules and play dates and sports. And every now and then I have to remind my husband to say, I don't want to know where we're going tomorrow night. I want you to take me out on a date. I want you to surprise me. And it's that level of making me feel as though I'm special and that I still count. I think that's a big one, is that I still count.
Well, you're very much doing, and you're definitely echoing my wife's sentiments for all of the, you know, type A personality and leader personality.
Absolutely.
And having that strength, she's still a vulnerable woman who wants to be with a man who can protect her, who can take care of her when she needs to be taken care of. So she's strong and she's out there, but she still needs that presence. And it's not that she needs a man. It's that she wants one. She wants one to be there for her and to make some plans and to take things off of her plate so she doesn't have to think about it. So completely echoes what my wife says.
And quite frankly, Alan, that is hot. You know, let's go back to just, you know, the basics of a relationship. When a man acts manly, it's hot. When a woman acts very feminine and sexual, mm-hmm. that's hot for a man. I mean, you know, we're still creatures and we tend to get all caught up in our world, our lives, our children. And when those basic principles get ignored in a relationship, even when you're dating, you're really at risk for
that's
having
true.
Something fail.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lindsay. Thank you, Joe, for coming on. Really appreciate your time and best of luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Everybody else, please stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, and thank you very much for staying with us on Seamless Live. I am your host, Alan Daysbrick, and I wanted to thank Joe Amoya for jumping on and Lindsay Allison for jumping on. Please see our webpage for information about how you can find them, read more about their work, and I encourage you to follow up with both of them. They are wonderful. one thing that I promised was I will tell you what my specific perspective on relationships and making them work is. And here it is. I had the privilege of interviewing the author of Five Love Languages, which is a wonderful book, which was instrumental in my marriage. My wife, in her infinite wisdom, had us read this book when we got married, and we soon realized that we were speaking different languages. Whereas I was the, you know, huggy, kissy, caring type, and that is what I needed, and that was my expression of love and understanding of it. For her, it was much more of the chores variety. You know, what have you done for me to make my life easier? She didn't care so much about the huggy, kissy stuff. She cared about chores, and she cared about me helping her, not just around the house, but in life in general. She wanted a strong partner to build a life with. So understanding that really helped us with the understanding each other's and expectations of love. But there is a missing piece to this that I found, and perhaps it's discussed in other books. But for me, even if you're speaking different love languages and you're trying to communicate and you're trying to learn each other's language, you're still you and you still have your preferences, which leaves the other person not necessarily receiving the love that they expect. And that's where many problems arise. Many problems arise because we expect to receive from the one that we are in love with. We are in a relationship and we become dependent on something. And I'm not talking about money per se. I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about receiving whatever your idea of love from somebody else. And that's the crux of the problem, because love can only be received from you. And Lindsay alluded to that in our discussion in the last segment. But if you don't love yourself, then you will always be searching for somebody to provide that love to you. And unfortunately, probably, you're not going to find that one, because you'll never receive the love that you want or the amount of love that you're expecting to get from somebody else. It just doesn't work that way. So you have to love yourself. And loving yourself starts with knowing who you are, knowing and understanding what you're about, knowing what you require. And then you can take that and fill in all of these gaps. So take my example. As I mentioned, my wife and I having different love languages, because me being the lovey, huggy, kissy, feely type of guy, and not getting as much of that from my relationship, I was really left with a couple of choices. One is I can get over it, which doesn't work. I don't think people ever get over things, especially when it comes to love. Two is I can search for that love somewhere else, but that means ending this relationship, which in every other regard is quite perfect. So that was not really a choice that I wanted to go down with. It was working with my wife and have her provide that part, which she has become better and better at, but still not to that extent. So that's where you are left, or I was left, with only one scenario. That is to love myself and not wait to receive that love from my wife, but to get that love from me. And as soon as I made that realization, then I started making concrete changes. And then our relationship became much stronger because of it. So the changes that I started making is, when I would look at myself in the mirror, I would literally, and I mean literally, literally, I would look at myself in the mirror and I would say, I love you. I would literally take my arms, as I'm doing right now, and I would give myself a hug. I would literally do these. I'm going to stop saying literally. I would do these things. And even as I am thinking about that, and I'm going to have you do that too, but I'm thinking about saying those words, there is a physical reaction in my body, because we all need love. And if you're not getting it from your loved one in the way that you want to get it, then you need to get it from yourself. Because if I were to cheat and if I were to get that from somebody else, I would have messed up my family. And who knows what other love I would not have been getting in a different relationship. And we can go on and continue these cycles of searching. And there is no need to search because all of that is within you. So what I would like for you to do right now, if you wouldn't mind closing your eyes and say to yourself, whether you want to say it out loud or not, just say, I love you and mean it. Say it really and repeat it a few times and feel what is the reaction in your body as you're saying that. Because I have shivers down my spine as I say that. I start smiling. Remember Dr. Emoto's research. Remember what happens to water when you water droplets and what happens to the actual structure of water when you look under the microscope. When you say, I love you, as opposed to I hate you, the structure is very different. And given that we are more than half water, what do you think happens to you when you say that to yourself? You have to love yourself. And it all starts with something as simple as that. So if you're not getting the love that you want from your relationship, start here. Start loving yourself. Do not resent your partner for not giving you the love that you need, because there is no need. You want to be loved, love yourself. Then your dependency will disappear. And you will start looking at your partner from the perspective of not the one who doesn't provide what I need and resent them for it, but you will be looking at them with a newfound interest and thinking, well, they're wonderful at this and they're great at that. And because you don't need anything from them, that changes everything. And they will feel that too. And when they feel that, then they're much more interested in doing some of the things that you didn't see them do before. Because anytime, forget just love, think in general, anytime when we are supposed to do something, we don't want to do it. We want to be able to be interested in doing something and to do it with an open heart. That's when we're in it. We don't want to do it because we have to. And that subtle difference and that subtle change is really playing in your relationship. So start loving yourself. And then it goes on from there of once you love yourself, you'll appreciate yourself. You'll start taking better care of yourself. You'll start making sure that you're not wasting time on things that are not congruent with that. You may get a different job, or as Lindsay was pointing out, a hobby, or, you know, a different job. You may want to stay in a relationship or not. And by the way, if you love yourself, then you can actually give your love fully to somebody else. Because unless you respect yourself, you cannot respect someone else. Unless you love yourself, you cannot truly love someone else. And if when you love yourself, if you see that the person that you're with is not the right person for you, then that love in yourself will give you the strength you need to get out of that relationship and to find one that you need, excuse me, that you should be with because you made that choice. And then you can work with Lindsay and you can work with Joe as a tag team. Okay. The poem of the week. This is a poem that I wrote for, as I was looking for poems, I have many poems that I wrote for my wife. There are many poems that I wrote in my infatuation phases. But this was a poem that I wrote 3 weeks after our first date. This was written, and I have the timestamp, as thank God I was doing that back then. It was written on March 9th, 1998. Actually, you know, very, very cool that it's in March, at 12:23 a.m. This is what I wrote to my current wife. There are no words I need to use to tell you how I feel. One look and you can see the truth. One touch, you know it's real. Between us, boundaries disappear. There are no walls in sight. Our love is like a magic sphere. Nothing could stop its flight. We do not use our minds to talk. They only seek control. Instead, we use our hearts as chalk on blackboards of our soul. Sweetheart, you are my other half. I've searched for and have found. With you, I cry, I sing, and laugh without making a sound. That to me was when I fell in love with my one true love, with my wife, with somebody who I have spent the last 15 years being married to and having children with. And as you've heard, you know, putting my wife through through hell for many occasions with me ruining the first business or deciding to switch my career. Relationships are not easy. Relationships are tough. But if you love yourself, if you are open-minded enough to hear when the other person is telling you that you need to change and are willing to make that change, if you grow together, then the magic truly happens. I hope and wish you very, very best in your relationships, whether you're single, in a relationship, or married. Best of luck to you, and have a wonderful evening.